Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're going to return to the Old Testament, and we're going to look at being the hands and feet of Jesus. Last weekend we borrowed from the men's conference about getting out of the boat. This weekend we're borrowing from the youth conference. So if y'all just keep planning conferences, I won't ever have to come up with an original sermon title ever again. Well, my wife probably doesn't want me gone a third weekend in a row, so next week I'll be on my own. But we're going to be in the sixth chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. That's on page 553 if you're in one of the Black Emmanuel Bibles. But let's hear what God's word has from us from the prophet Isaiah today. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on their threshold shook as the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sins have been blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. This is the word of God for you, the beloved people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a poem that I'm going to read to you a little later, but I want you to hear just the opening lines of it as we begin. It says, Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. And so we see that Isaiah's response to this question is, here am I. We would say, here I am. Send me. In the Sizemore household, just about every meal now includes, what's the name of the song? I like Daddy Finger because I'm the daddy. What's it really called? Do you know? It's called Mama Finger. Of course it is. But it goes, Daddy Finger, where are you? And then he pops up and he says, here I am, here I am. How do you do? You ever played hide and seek with a child? That's a lot of fun. We love playing hide and seek in the Sizemore house too. And you cover up. And you come in and you go, oh no, where's Logan? Where's Anna Claire? And you can hear, here I am. Shh, don't tell them where you are. But when you're called for, as a child in your innocence, you know the only thing to do is to respond with, here I am. It's common sense to them. If you're asking, where are you? I'm here. Then we grow up and get cynical and we hide. But our story starts, our scripture starts, and it says, the year King Uzziah died, we see that Isaiah is at the temple. It's a weird way to start if you don't understand what's really going on there. But I want you to think back through your lifetime. Okay? As for some of you, that's a little shorter than others. But the most tragic event that our country has experienced led to the greatest influx of people at the church that we've ever seen. Right? Whether that be the assassination of a president, whether that was 9/11, whatever it was, after a terrible national crisis, people flock to where the only place they think they can, well, I don't know, but I don't know anything about church, but I've been told there's hope there. And so they go. Same thing's happened here. Their king has died. So they're at the temple because they're concerned about their nation. And so then we see that Isaiah actually sees the Lord. He actually sees God in these angelic creatures. That's why in Scripture, when it talks about seeing an angel, the angel says, don't be afraid. If these things got six wings, I'm going to be terrified. Don't act like y'all wouldn't. If you saw a bird with six wings, you'd probably start running. And here's this big, they're not little cute people in diapers. Let's stop that. Let's tell the truth. But God says, and most theologians think he's actually talking to the angels and to the Trinity. Because he says, who shall I send? But then he says, who will go for, plural, us? He's not talking to Isaiah. Isaiah just hears this conversation. And he knows the answer is, I'll go. I'll go. Our God is a God of calls. Those of you that are familiar with, especially the Old Testament, we're really familiar with Jesus calling the disciples, right? He comes and he gets them and they follow him. But in the Old Testament, God did a lot of calling. He called Moses, but Moses said, Lord, I can't set your people free. I can't even talk. There's an excuse, right? Then he tells Gideon to lead his people, and Gideon says, my tribe is too weak. Like, we're the minority. Pick somebody else. He goes to Jeremiah and says, be my mouthpiece. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young. They won't listen to me. Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel, be my prophet and go speak for me. And he says, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm just too scared to do it. And even Isaiah, we know he's in a place of importance because he's at the temple. And he's actually in a place common people couldn't get. So he's in a place of power and distinction. And when he sees this, he says, woe is me. I'm ruined. I can't see this because I'm unclean. But then he also realizes that if our God calls us, and if our God is willing to provide a way, for him it was a hot coal to blot out our sins and to free us from our guilt. For us, it was the blood of Christ. He says, if he's willing to do that, there is no other answer, then I will go. Our United Methodist mission as a Methodist church worldwide is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Here at Emmanuel, we got a little detailed, but it says, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, see, it takes those two things. It takes grace to grow in a relationship with God, and it takes the Holy Spirit. Can't do it on your own. You think you can, you can't. You just can't. But then, because of those things, we can pursue Christ. We can do our best to become, to press on, to go on towards being more like Jesus. And then the phrase that we kind of use to promote the most is to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. You see, God has called us, but as his people, he's not called us just to gather here. He's called us to change the world out there. There's a video, I wish I could show it to you. Maybe soon I'm going to be able to. But if you got your little notes or you want to see it later, write down, kid president, 9 ways to change the world. And then he says something like, I'm still working on it, or something. Like, but it's a cute little video. But this little kid, they call him kid president, he says that there are 9 ways people try to change the world. And he's just talking about in general, okay? But I want you to listen and see if it doesn't apply to the church. He says the first thing that people try to do to change the world is just complain about everything. Yeah, we laugh, but y'all know people like that? And all they do is complain. To be people of hope, We shouldn't be so negative all the time. But just, that's, some people think, I'm going to fix the world by complaining about how everybody else is doing it. I'll just complain. Then he says, the second way is you think you got to have a lot of money. Now, we'll take your money. I won't, but the church will, won't we, Paulia? Okay, so I disagree with him a little bit on this one. But what he's saying is, he thinks that, well, only the rich can make a difference. Your dollar can make a difference because it'll buy two ice creams for children. See what I mean? Your change out of your piggy bank, or I don't guess you have piggy banks, you're adults, but out from under your car seat can buy school supplies. You still got a piggy bank? Mama, good mama. I'm in trouble. So the next one, and some of you may think, preacher, well, this is where you fit. And then I tell you, be careful now. You log, plank, you know, speck, dust, you know, all that. But it says just be loud and yell a lot. Y'all know, bullhorn people is what I call them. And you think like me, you act like me, you believe like me, you do it my way, or you're wrong. And that's how you change the world, by just screaming at people. Then another one says, let smarter people do it. And then he has this little, like, thought, and it's Einstein sitting in a bubble, and he goes, how to fix world hunger? Food. And he says, you know, we don't need smarter people to fix the world, to change the world. We're all capable of doing it. Then he says, just ignore everything. Now, I'm going to be honest with you for a minute. I've been there. You just ever get so frustrated, you feel like, I can't make a difference, so why try? So you just ignore the problem. Then it says, be super cool or famous. Church, there's some of us in here that are super cool, but we're not ever going to be famous. The next way he says is just to be powerful, to be like a world leader. That's the only way you can change the world. And then he says, but that doesn't work. He said, here's how you change the world. He said, the world is changed by you. One person filled with love for us, Jesus, does something awesome and fills someone else with love. And then they do the same. And they do the same. And then he quotes, he says, the world is changed by little people living out big love. That's so cool, isn't it? Look at it. If you get a chance, I want you to Google it and look at it. But you know, we don't need, the church, the world, doesn't need any more complainers. It's really hard to tell somebody their hope in their life is Jesus Christ if all they've ever heard is you complain. Think about how silly that sounds. Michelle, these people, that darn preacher, I can't stand him. He doesn't do it like these other people. And these people at this church, I don't like, they park in my parking spot. Hey, Michael, you gonna come to church with me? My pastor said I had to invite somebody. He ain't coming to church. He just heard everything I said to Michelle. We don't need any more people to be loud. We need more people to love. We need more people to be the hands and to be the feet and to get dirty and to set people free. Well, what does that look like? I know somebody in here, I don't know who, probably a lot of us, but my biggest problem when I feel God's calling me to do something is I don't feel worthy. And Isaiah didn't feel worthy, because the reality is, church, we're not. We're not on our own worthy. Our righteousness is not of our own, it is of Christ. But so we don't need coal from the fire. I don't care what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad in your mind you think it is. If you have repented of it, the blood of Christ covers it. And then God says, now go make a difference. And yeah, you might have a painful story, but go tell somebody, because that painful story ends in redemption, and they might just need to hear that. See, our scars are different than wounds, you know. Wounds haven't healed yet. Scars have healed, and they lead to a story. After Jesus' resurrection, he showed them his what? His scars. And it proved that he had been healed. But here at any Methodist church, really, we talk about vows. And To me, it's a very practical way of how to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You may be in a season in your life and you say, preacher, I'd love to. I can't get out here and help do physical stuff. Can I tell you in my heart, and I may be wrong, but in my heart, what I think our church needs more than anything else in the entire world is people who will passionately pray for us. Not like, Lord, bless my church, but tears streaming down your face. I mean, on your knees, like, God, bless my church, because our lives depend upon it. Because the lives of our neighbors depend upon the ministries that we do. And there's people in this church that if you tell them, pray for me about something, you better expect it to be taken care of, because God's going to listen to them. And it's not because they're special. It's because they pray with a sense of assurance and desperation. If you can do that, please do that for this body of Christ. Your presence. Other than praying, there's no greater way for you to be a blessing to this church than when you're here. You can't bless people if you're not here. You just can't. Next week, we're going to start we got us a new growth campaign. Doesn't that sound official? Man, we sound so official. We said, well, hey, we want to grow. That was a goal we set, right? If you don't have a number, you don't know what you're growing for. So our goal is starting in March of 2018 to March of 2019, we will grow by 20 people in attendance. It's scary, isn't it? Here's how we do that. Be faithful to your vow. Bring others. Do you want me to tell you how we can double the size of our church? If all of us bring one person and get them passionate about Jesus. That's simple math. It's hard work, though, isn't it? So our goal is 20 by 20. We want to grow by 20 by 2020. See how clever that is? And I didn't come up with it, so you can like it. Because I know some of you are like, well, I don't like, that's cool, but I ain't going to let them know I like it. I didn't come up with it. But it's beautiful. And just think, in March of 2020, I believe it can happen. I truly believe it can happen. Wouldn't stand up here and record it and put it online if I didn't think it could happen. But if our average went from 68 to 88, well, preacher, that's 20 more people I won't know. Get to know them. Best way to know them is to be in church. Be in Sunday school with them. Cry with them. Pray with them. That's how you get to know somebody. Gifts. Time, talent, and treasure. Service. Man, that's what we did this weekend. I'm telling you, service, it's hard. But you know, everybody's not called to serve to trim our bushes. Some of us, the best way that we can serve on Sunday morning is parking in a parking spot that leaves room for a guest to be closer to the door. Sometimes the best way we can serve is to help in the nursery, to greet people when they walk in, to light the acolyte's candle lighters. Our service, y'all, I don't think we realize how many moving parts it takes to make a Sunday morning happen. And today's evidence that it'll happen if I'm not here. I'm going to say something that's going to make some of you extremely happy to hear me say, you don't need me to be a successful church. Did you hear me? You don't need me to be a successful church. You need each other. You need the body parts that God has put here. Now, I've already promised you from day one that as long as I'm here, you're going to get 100% of what I've got. You don't need me to be the body of Christ and your witness. The best way for us to grow, the best way for us to be faithful is just to be a good witness. Matthew West sings a song, and it's called Broken Things. You ever felt broken? You ever realized you are? And you felt like when something's broken in your house, there's two types of people. You fix it or you what? Leave, throw it away. You don't leave it. We leave it. It needs to be thrown away. Thanks for telling everybody our house is dirty. But if something's broke, you either fix it or you get rid of it, don't you? But you know, or yeah, you call somebody that knows how to fix it, don't you? That's right. Call somebody honey-do list. But you know what God does? He fixes it every time. He has never thrown it away. And he says these words in that song. It says, the pages of history, they tell me it's true, that it's never the perfect, it's always the ones with the scars that you use. It's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for a sinner like me. And he says, now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. And I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true that you use broken things, then here I am, Lord. I'm all yours. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we hear these words in St. Teresa's pointing to her people. That Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good things. Yours are the hands with which he blesses others in the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body, church, but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Lord, if that poem is true, then our prayer today is give us the courage and the strength we need to say, here I am. Send me. God, help us to be a church passionate about worshiping together, but serving others. In the most precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our King. Amen.
We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ. We would love for you to join us for worship at Emmanuel United Methodist Church, where becoming and making disciples is more than just a mission statement. For more information, you can visit us at emmanuelumc.com or you can find us on Facebook at IUMC Welford. God bless.